We're going through in Good News Club. She's like, me? What did I do? At Good News Club, we're talking, and she brought up, I almost asked you for one of your pictures. She brought a little picture of a little bird who was Mr. Grumpy Bird. And what was the phrasing on that?
Got attitude, try gratitude.
Well, that's stuck in my head. And so, I know in the bulletin it says we're going to be in 1 John. We're not. We're actually going to be in the book of Philippians chapter 1. And so I kept thinking as I was, finishing off my sermon and putting together my PowerPoint for 1 John, all I kept thinking through was attitude and gratitude, attitude and gratitude. And so coming into Thanksgiving, I am going to change gears and talk about the idea of having a thankful heart. And in here, we look at what's going on around us. And how in the world, oftentimes, how can we have a joy in a world that's in turmoil? How can we have joy when many of us, are just going through stuff? How does that happen? The book of Philippians is just a wonderful book. And especially when we put it in the context of everything else, it really shines as we thought about this idea of being thankful. See, what's going on is Paul had started this church in Philippi. And he has established his church, and it was thriving. And about 10 years later, Paul writes this letter. And a lot happened in those 10 years. And actually, at this point, Paul himself is in Rome in prison. He's under house arrest for preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. A Roman prison is not a joyful place to be in. Things are a little bit different. When I was in New York, when we were in Bible school, one of the many jobs I did, I worked for a garbage company. And one of the places we would go up in Geneseo, New York, there is a prison there. And we had to go up there and empty all the dumpsters. And one day we're pulling in and driving in, and there were all these people with signs, and they were mad and they were upset. I said, "What's going on?" They said, "The prisoners are protesting." I didn't know they could do that. He said, "Yeah, there's a protest." I said, "What are they protesting?" They're very upset because the government only put in a 9-hole golf course for them instead of an 18-hole. And they're very upset and they're rioting. I'm like, maybe I should go to prison here. If that's what your complaint is. Roman prisons were a little bit different. And you look at all that's going on, and I imagine, Paul could have easily have gone down that road of, woe is me. God, I'm doing what you want me to do, and look where I end up. God, I've given up so much for you, and this is how you repay me, is him stuck in a prison cell. Paul could have wished for better. And so in light of all that, it makes it even more astounding as we get into the book of Philippians that Paul talks about the joy that he has. The book of Philippians is a joyful book. And I look at that and say, look, how can Paul, who is in prison, be thankful? Because I'm not in prison, and sometimes I wrestle with being unthankful, ungrateful. Right? I'm sure I'm the only one. And so in light of this, as we come into Thanksgiving, to take time and not just eat the turkey. I love turkey. Gravy. This is, right? Next week, I'm probably going to weigh like 800 pounds because I'm just going to. We had a pumpkin pie in the fridge for Thanksgiving. It's half gone. Already the bowl of Cool Whip is half gone. I love Cool Whip. I know it's like totally fake, but I could just eat it right out of the... Right? Anyone else? You know? All right. You know? Good stuff. Right? But Thanksgiving is more than all of that. And I really hope as we come into this that we can stop and spend some time and say, Lord, I am thankful. And you say, well, Pastor, you don't know what I've been going through. No, I probably don't. Well, you don't know what's going on in my life, or you don't understand the situation I'm in. I don't. But I can tell you, if Paul can be in a prison and have a thankful heart, then we can be thankful in the situation that we're in. Because what happens is thankfulness starts on the inside. It's all about our attitude. All about our attitude. And Paul starts off here. We're going to jump into chapter 1 of book Philippians. And just look at the first 8 verses as Paul starts off this letter. And in here, he points out some attitude changes that we need to have in our life. Philippians chapter 1. Actually, I'm going to start in verse 3. It says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Always, in every prayer of mine, make a request for you all with joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. Being confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Just as it is right for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my hearts. Inasmuch as both in my chains and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you all are partakers with me of the grace, for God is my witness, how greatly I long for you all with the affection of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Our dearly Father, as we look into your word this morning, Lord, I just pray you challenge us. Lord, adjust our attitudes, adjust our hearts, and bring us in tune with you. Lord, we ask this in your name. Amen. First thing I just want to look at here is really in verses 3 through 5. He talks about this attitude of gratitude. You know, Paul could have started off this letter and said, you know what, I'm in prison, the food stinks, the prisoners are mean to me, I'm being abused. He could have started off with all of that, but he doesn't. He starts off in verse 3. What? I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. I am thankful. And he starts off talking about the Philippians. He starts talking about what a blessing you guys are. And he starts counting his blessings in the midst of it all. I thank God upon every remembrance of you. You know, sometimes in our lives, to be thankful and have an attitude of gratitude, we have to stir up our memories. And sometimes, you know, it's not that long ago. We're easily forgetting how good God has been to us. You know, it's an interesting, especially Sunday nights, we get together and ask for, you know, songs and testimonies and praises, you know. And often it comes and says, oh, how's God been good to you this week? And, you know, there's that awkward silence. And oftentimes people feel like, oh, well, I got to talk about the big things, you know. What's something big that God did for us? No, you know what I tell you? The attitude of gratitude starts in the small things. The small things. Because what happens is, God is so good to us, we're so used to His goodness, that we just take it for granted. And when we start taking things for granted, our attitude of gratitude diminishes. Because either we're so used to it, we're not thankful anymore for it. Right? And we see this all the time, you know. You turn around and you look at, I'll use kids as an example. Right? I mean, kids nowadays, I mean, they have more gizmos and gadgets and way better than I had as a kid. Right? I still love it. You know, several weeks ago we were talking, you know, these kids, you know, I don't remember, it was Paul who mentioned something like that. You know, we didn't have the internet. He didn't have the internet when he was a kid. Well, I didn't have it when I was a kid either. And the kids were all like, oh, how did you live without YouTube? Right? How did you do it? I think it was good that many of us lost power for several days because we took things for granted so much, right? And when we stop and think, and we can be thankful for the small things, that in here, God gives us an attitude of gratitude. Because guess what? Guess what we deserve? Nothing. We don't. And I dare say most of us have more than nothing. We need to be thankful. And here he turns around and says, look, I thank God upon every remembrance of you. Always, in every prayer, I may request for you all with joy. And for your fellowship. Paul goes down through here and he starts praising God for, you know, he's got friends. Right? He's got other people who are praying for him. He starts going through it, and in here, Paul has an attitude of gratitude for all that he has, even in the midst of being in jail. Because why? The joy comes from inside, not outside. So no matter what circumstances we're in, we can be thankful. We can find something to be thankful for. Maybe you know the song, count your blessings, name them one by one. If you get really radical, we used to sing, count your blessings, name them ton by ton. And it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Right? But when we take things for granted, we see this with our relationships. Years ago, there was a young woman, her husband died of a rare stomach cancer. It's a really odd situation. They were in their 20s, and they've only been married, I think, 6 years. They had about 4 or 5 kids. Just beautiful, all these, you know, see this mother chasing around all these little ones, you know. And if someone was wrong with him and they couldn't find out, and come to find out, they said, well, on a fluke, we'll try out for this one cancer, but he's way too young. Usually people only in their 80s get it, and they diagnosed it and said, oh, he's got this rare cancer. And within 6 months, he was gone. And they were at a ladies' fellowship, and they're all standing around, and she was there, and the ladies all started talking bad about their husbands. I can't believe right? And guys, we get guilty of that too, so I'm not just picking on you ladies. But in this case, they were all standing around, and I can't believe my husband this. I can't believe that. And they're all going complaining. And all of a sudden, they looked up, and this lady was filled with tears in her eyes. And one of the ladies is like, oh, you know, what's wrong? And she goes, you know what? She goes, you guys got to count your blessings. She goes, I wish I had a husband to complain about. And the lady who told me this, she goes, the countenance of this group of ladies just instantly changed. Right? And we got to a point where we get so used to the goodness that we have. We're so used to the blessings that somehow we get to the point where we don't even see them anymore. Be thankful. Get an attitude of gratitude. I found this. It says, count your blessings, not your troubles. You know, it's easy to sit down and start complaining. Well, maybe not for you, but it is for me. It's easy for me to complain. Right? I can't believe this, and now woe is me, and da 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 da. And what I need to do is change my attitude. Say, God, thank you. And start looking. And I'll tell you, if you get to that, where you sit down and say, Lord, what am I, should, small and great, things I should be thankful for. Folks, I dare say that list will far surpass all the other things in our lives. Attitude of gratitude, ask yourself, what am I grateful for? This week, coming into Thanksgiving, is a great opportunity. For in the midst of it all, what am I thankful for? What am I thankful for? Lord, give me an attitude of gratitude. One of the other things we look at in verse 6 talks about we have an attitude of confidence. As Christians, we need to realize how that changes us. That here we know the Lord Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior. That in here, we know that when I die, I'm going to heaven. I know that He is the mighty God who hears me when I pray. All these things in our lives, the world doesn't have. The world doesn't have those things. And so in light of this, we have this confidence that changes us. Verse 6 says, being confident of this very thing, He who began a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Look, the Lord can be trusted. Right? Think of this. Whatever situation you're going through, if God is in control, and guess what He is? That God is all-powerful and almighty, which He is, who knows all things, who is a good God, which He is, we can have confidence that we are His children. He who had begun a good work in you will be able to complete it. God has not brought you this far to abandon you. Think about that. Because sometimes what happens in our lives, we get miserable because we feel like we're all alone. We feel like we're in the struggle. Right? Sometimes we struggle through all these things. We look at God, where are you? Well, the Bible says He'll never leave us nor forsake us. God is there. And we can have a confidence in that. He who begun a good work in you will be able to complete it. God is not going to leave you high and dry. Isn't that good? Isn't that something to be thankful for? Years ago, I was just a little tot. My sister took us out into the woods. Now, my sister was 5 years older than me, and she was kind of a mean sister. She's better now, but, you know. I think she resented. She was 5 years older than me, and she had mom to herself for 5 years, and then I came along. My mom told me once she came home and my sister had put me in the oven. She wanted to get rid of me. You know? I know, it was horrible, I know. But anyway, she took us out into the woods. And yeah, I loved my sister. You know, so she's like, hey, let's go play. I was like, yeah, let's go. And she brought us out into the woods. We're going to play hide and seek. And she left me. And I remember crying, oh, no, right. All scared and all panicky. And sometimes we feel like in our lives, maybe, you know, God, where are you? God, have you brought us this far just to abandon us? Paul says here, what? We have a confidence, verse 6. Being confident of this very thing. The confidence that we have in the Lord. Patrick, you're sitting down and say, Lord, where do you want me to go? He's not going to abandon you. If this is what God wants, He'll provide. He'll take care. He's not going to leave you in the midst of it all. And sometimes in our lives, we can't see it all, right? Sometimes we don't know, God, how are you going to work this out? But God will take care. You know? A year and a half ago, my wife and I were like, where are we going to go, Lord? You know, we're at the situation where we're in the parsonage and we needed to move and we needed to get out and go. We didn't know where. And the Lord brought you guys along. We went through. I never missed a Sunday preaching. The Lord just opened the door up. I'll tell you, there were times when I was like, oh, what's going to happen? Okay, honey, we're going to live in our car. You know, I don't know what's going to happen, you know. Now I look back and it's like, John, you're such an idiot. Don't amen that. All right, John, you're such an idiot. Because He who begun the good work is going to finish it. And maybe what you're going through in your life, God is bringing you to the point where He says, trust me. my oldest daughter, she got into a habit of saying, "Dad, catch me." And whenever we were, she'd get up someplace high, and she'd say, "Dad, catch me," and she would jump. And sometimes I wasn't ready. You know, it was just like, you know, so she'd come down the stairs, and she'd say, "Okay, you know, get over in the morning." She'd come down the stairs, and she'd come down to about, you know, 6-7 steps up. "Dad, catch me," and she'd just throw herself at me. And I always caught her. And we'd be off in a store somewhere, and she'd climb up on something. "Dad, catch me." I got scared sometimes. She started to get a little bit older. It's like, you know. But she had total trust that I was going to catch her. Right? You know, when Lauren was little, I used to take her and throw her up. She'd giggle, "Ah!" Sometimes I'd get to the, "Yeah!" You know. My wife said, "I don't feel sorry for you at all. You know, you deserve it, right?" But all the time, you know, "Do it again! Do it again!" I love that. Last time we were together with my little granddaughter, I was tossing her up. "Again, again!" Throw her up. Right? She had total trust that I was going to catch her every time. Now, my wife didn't have so much trust. Right? We have a confidence that he who begun a good work in you is able to complete it. Folks, we can have a thankful heart knowing that we have a God that catches us. That he can be trusted. That in our lives we're going through, no matter what our external circumstances are, with God, catch us. And he always will. Sometimes it takes a leap of faith. But Jesus never fails. We have this confidence. And in this, we can be thankful. Like I said, sometimes I scratch my head. I don't know how the world does it. I really don't. I go in the hospitals and I visit people who don't know the Lord. What do they trust in? They don't know. I've done funerals for the unsaved, and it breaks my heart because they have no hope. I'm thankful. I have confidence that my God is there for me. Amen? I know it's dreary and y'all like, "Oh, all right. Almost done." Though we can be thankful if we have an attitude of affection. If we have an attitude of affection. Look at verse 7 and 8. It says, "Just as it is right for me to think this of you all, because I have you all in my heart, inasmuch as both in my chains and in my defense and my confirmation of the gospel, you are partakers with me of grace. For God is my witness, how greatly I long for you all with the affection of Christ." See, oftentimes I get ungrateful. I have an attitude in my heart because I feel like I'm all alone. Right? You ever felt that? And we live in a day and age where so many people are like, "Well, why does church matter? You know what? I can turn on the radio and hear better preaching." And they can. You can turn them up, you can turn them down, you can turn them off, you can walk away, right? You're stuck with me. I feel bad for y'all. You know, you can listen to Chuck Swindoll, that dun-dun-dun-dun-dun, right? You can see all enthusiastic guys, and it's all polished, and they speak good English, and once again, you guys are stuck with me. Right? I can go home and listen to better preaching. Yeah, you can. You know, then I can sit and I can worship in my jammies. Well, you could do that here too, but we're glad you don't, but you could. You know? Why bother with church? And I don't say this just because I'm the pastor. And you're here this morning, so I'm preaching to the choir. But God has called us to be a body of believers with one another. We are a fellowship. We are a family. We are not meant to do this alone. That here, oftentimes what happens, we get ungrateful because we feel like we're moving the cog by ourselves. And it's heavy and it's burdensome. We feel like all the weight has fallen on us. And that's not the case what it should be. God has called us a family. Here Paul is in prison. And what? He's joyful. He's thankful as he thinks about these believers who he loves in the church in Philippi. And upon the affection that he has for them, an attitude of affection that we have with one another. I'm thankful for a body of believers. I look forward to coming on Sunday and seeing you all. I like it. You know, oh shucks, I like you. And I'm thankful that God has brought together and brought us here. I was talking to John this morning, you know. You guys got to be careful. You guys are going to spoil us. But I know if I have someone I need to pray for me, I know I have people that will pray for me. I know if I have a need that I can reach out, I know that someone's there. I know I'm not alone. No matter what I go through, the family of God we have. And what that does is get me outside of myself. Here Paul is in a prison cell, but he's thankful because he's thinking about them. He's thinking about this church. He's thinking about the people there, those who he loves. And all of a sudden that does is get you out of yourself. Because the worst place I can get stuck on is in here. Right? You know, if I'm sick and I'm home and not by myself, and it's easy for me to be like, and I get miserable and I get down and all of a sudden I get into a darker and darker place. Right? But if I get out of myself and I serve others and I look at others, that just is my attitude. When I was a kid, we learned this little song. What a wonderful way to spell joy. You sing, I won't sing it. No, I'll spare you. I might break out into it, though. I can't promise. But putting Jesus first. Right? Get my eyes off of me. And Lord, let me put my eyes on you. Jesus first. And then look at others. You know, sometimes in our lives, when we look at other people, you know what? I'm thankful. I can look at someone else and maybe they're struggling in their marriage. You know what? I'm thankful for my wife. I can turn around and look at someone and I can look at their situation and someone who's struggling and I can be thankful for my kids. Right? And in our lives, oftentimes, when we were in Bible school, we started off this ministry of no feet. I don't know if you guys ever heard the saying. You know, I felt bad I had no shoes until I met a man who had no feet. Has anyone heard that before? Okay, here's some of you. Right? So we, in Bible school, we get together, and like I said, most of us didn't have any money. Most of us, our cars were falling apart. We're all miserable together. Right? That's a wonderful thing sometimes. We're all miserable together. And so we'd get together, and we'd have prayer, and so it'd be easy for us to get down on ourselves of what we didn't have, and what I was going through. And so we'd have, who has the ministry of no feet? And so we'd come up and said, okay, which one of us is the worst? And what happened was, I'm talking about my car, you know, I didn't have any gas to get to where I wanted to go today. And, you know, my buddy would say, well, yeah, well, my car, you know, I just blew a head gasket. Wow. Having no gas is, I feel pretty good about myself, you know. And so we just turn around and look at, sometimes we look at other people and it's like, oh man, they're worse off than I am. And it gives me an attitude of gratitude. But also in there, as I serve others, as I help others, it gets me out of myself. Put Jesus first, then others, and then you. And you shake each other of that, it spells joy. I'm going to sing it. We used to sing it. J-O-Y, J-O-Y, that must surely mean Jesus first, yourself last, and others in between. You can use that, Patrick. All right. Right? But joy, when Jesus first, others and then yourself. And that changes our attitude. And here is Paul in a prison. And he had a thankful heart. He had a thankful heart. An attitude of gratitude. Count your blessings, name them one by one. We have a confidence in the God that we have, that we love. And then we have each other in the midst of it all. This Thanksgiving, take some time apart. Be thankful. Be thankful. Lord, give me an attitude of gratitude. Change my heart. Count my blessings. Lord, change me. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you. Thank you for your word, Lord, the challenge that we can have in our lives. Lord, to worship and praise you, Lord, and exalt you in all these things. Lord, give us an attitude of gratitude. Lord, help us be thankful. Lord, you've been so good to us. Lord, help us see it. Help me check my attitude. Lord, we ask this in your name. Amen.